Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Well, good. I want to say thank you to Riley. He's taking my communication school, as you can tell. You see him moving along that stage like that? And then the other thing is just, we love having our students, and he's graduating, and it's been great to have him being doing this, and our prayers and support and all that he does, so we're thrilled on that. Give him a hand. Isn't that great? And then I watch that baby video, and I go, if only you were that easy to entertain. Isn't it good to laugh? We're in a series in Ecclesiastes, and it's all about the different ways that we can enjoy life, and we wanted to do this in the summer because, folks, summer only lasts 6 weeks usually, right? But we're getting a long one, and next week, it's going to be hot. Right? I kind of think Minnesota might be the new Florida. You just watch the demographics change in the next few years with all these people coming up here, and it's going to be 80 in the winter, and we're going to be loving it. And you're laughing at that. That's right. We're in Ecclesiastes. We're really not going through it on a kind of exegetical study basis. We're using Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and those verses, specifically 1 through 8, as a way for us to look at things in ways that we can respond and enjoy life. So I'm going to ask you again, you were standing, I'm going to ask you to stand again as we read the Word of God in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. These are verses 1 through 8. For everything, there is a season and a time for every activity under heaven. And when we started this series, we talked about paying attention to the season. What season are you in right now? What is God wanting to do in the specific time that you are in that season? And it's a good thing to think about, because there are all kinds of times that you may be in. There's a time, as it says here, to be born, a time to die. We get to celebrate all these little children, right? A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. We're going to look at that idea of laughing. A time to grieve and a time to dance. We're going to look at next week this idea of how important it is to grieve so that you can truly dance and enjoy life. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet. And a time to speak. A time to love. And a time to hate. A time for war. And a time for peace. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would allow for us to hear you today, that your Holy Spirit would be present speaking into the lives. God, there's no way any person can speak into the lives of the hearts that are here, but we know that you can. So meet us in a place that would allow for us to know how deeply loved we are by you, to be encouraged, maybe to be corrected, maybe to be in a place of repentance and confession, wherever you would lead us. I pray that you would speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I decided what I would do, because it's just not a couple, you know, verses that tell you, like in the Bible, how to laugh or what to do. But I'm going to just share with you a few things and some verses that encourage laughing, or this idea of joy or merriment, and move in that direction. And we could look at a lot of different things. I did a whole message one time on Jesus, and people don't realize how much he laughed. If you just read the stories, you look at all the different things that occurred in his life, it's just an incredibly wonderful study. You don't realize in the Bible how much laughter there is. But it says in Proverbs 15:13, and I thought I would just point this one out first. It says, a glad heart makes a happy face, and a broken heart crushes the spirit. And the word glad here is the word for joy. It's the word that in the Hebrew language is often contextually put together with like the joy, the celebration and hilarity of harvest. Anybody come from an agricultural setting and harvest is an incredibly wonderful time as you bring in the fruit of your planting. Or it's the idea of festivals. There would be festivals where they would come together and remember God, and there would be this opportunity to experience joy. In a sense, he's saying there's this unconditional love of God, but there's also this unconditional joy if you know him, no matter what's going on in your life. And so in a sense, let your heart reflect what's going on. Your face, in a sense, reflect what's going on with your heart. So there's this idea that we get in this verse that laughter is good for the soul, but it's also good for your face. Isn't that true? I read a story. There's a number of these different accounts, and so how many of them are actually rooted in history, you know, factual in this sense? But there's these stories that talk often about pastors or speakers. Specifically, one story of a pastor who was speaking to someone who, after service, was a little bit upset. But then they were talking, and he said, "But do you experience joy?" He goes, "Of course I'm joyful." And he just said, "Well, tell your face." That kind of idea, right? This whole idea that there is a sense that if your heart is experiencing joy, if you're laughing, you can't help express it as a smile. I remember my brother and I were little. He's 2 years older, and we would sit in church, and it was to be reverent and solemn, and we're all sitting in the pews, and we would start out usually next to each other. Then my mom would get, she had a great job of pinching this part of my arm. But there would be times when we would just start internally, we'd see or think of something that was funny. And have you ever tried to keep laughter in an occasion when you shouldn't be laughing? Your heart is bubbling with laughter, and it's just going to show on your face. So there is a sense that laughter is good for your soul. It's also good for your face. It's important that we laugh. It's important that we smile. You know, smile takes less muscles than it does to frown. So why do you work so hard? Why do I? Let me just make it more visual for you. Here's the reality. When kids are little, they don't have a lot of filters, right? So they wear their emotions on their sleeve. If they're happy inside, they're happy on their face. We get really good. As we get older, we learn how to manipulate our face to make the look we want it to look in order for people to think we're feeling a certain way inside. Until you get what? Older. And eventually, you don't have the filters anymore. I know I'm losing them, those filters. You could look like this, right? Or you could look like, do we have another shot up there of that? I'm not picking on people who are older. I just want to make a point here in just a second. Let's go to the next one if we would. Or you could look like this. There truly is a sense that you need to right now, some of you who are younger need to be thinking about that. The fact that your face will somewhat reflect what's going on in your heart. And a really good question you need to ask yourself is, what direction is your face growing in? Is it, as it says in this proverb, expressing joy, smiling? In this proverb, if you study it, and as scholars will say, it also talks about the fact that not only is it you know, reflected in your face, but as you go through some of the proverbs around there, it's also attractive, and it has the ability to draw people in. It's contagious. There's something about laughter that's powerful. It kind of lets the guards down. When people laugh, your guards are down. I've noticed as a pastor, first of all, I've noticed that when people talk about, I remember what you spoke about, they never can remember like what I spoke on. I can sometimes try to remember the next week. But they remember a story. They usually remember a story they laughed at. And I have noticed And it's the way the person and the way God has made us works, that when you laugh, your defenses go down. And it's so often when that happens that a truth can actually be planted in someone's heart. But there's something about this idea that joy is contagious. In Acts, the early church, it says in verses 46 and 47, one of the things that was attractive to the people, it says every day they continued to meet together with great joy. And I put it in parentheses because that's what this word really means. Some of your paraphrases will even use that. And sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily. Obviously, the Spirit of God is at work. Galatians is another one where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. The way that you are being transformed is that God is taking your heart as you become more secure in the fact he loves you. You begin to trust the fact that he's going to care for you. It allows for you to laugh and to smile and to enjoy life. That's what Ecclesiastes, that's why we jumped off of this book. It basically says this: God is sovereign. You are going to experience difficulties in life. Happens to everybody, but life is a gift. And one of the things that God, your Father, wants you to do is enjoy it. So there's something that's contagious. The fruit of the Spirit as you're transformed. It says love. Some say love, which contains all these others, but it's love. And the next thing it talks about, the next characteristic, I think, of the heart of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, is joy and laughter, the ability to enjoy one another. So it's contagious. Laughter is like medicine. We're told in Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And I like the way the Message Bible says it. It says, the cheerful disposition is good for your health. I looked up some of the studies. Mayo Clinic has one, Cleveland Clinic, and I combined a few of them. And just wanted to, you've heard this before, but I'm just going to restate it because it's just good to hear. Here are some of the benefits physically. Laughter triggers a release of endorphins, the body's natural feel-good chemicals, promoting relaxation and reducing stress and tension. It boosts the immune system, enhances blood flow, and even provides a mild workout for our muscles. Would you rather run or laugh? Yeah, there you go. Some of you are getting a workout right now. So emotionally, laughter acts as a powerful antidote to sadness, anxiety, and fear, lifting our spirits and fostering a positive outlook on life. These are actual research studies, medical studies, which fit what the Proverbs says. Proverbs generally is just saying that when you're in a place where you're experiencing joy, it is like medicine to your body. But living crushed and living under that does just the opposite. It eats away your body. And so emotionally, it's this powerful antidote to sadness and anxiety and lifts our spirits. Socially, it creates a sense of connection, strengthening relationships, fostering a supportive and joyful community. And it is a universal language. Anybody from any country could watch that baby laugh and laugh. Do you know that what you're doing right now is a really good thing? If you were alone, the chances of you laughing is 30 times less than when you're with people. You will laugh 30 times more with others than you will alone. That's how important community is. Amen. I love, man, you're talking back. Listen to Job 8:22. It speaks of God filling our mouths with laughter and our lips with shouts of joy when we turn to him in times of trouble. Why would he fill us with laughter in times of trouble? It's because God can handle what you can't. And then Proverbs 31:25. It's the chapter on this woman who trusts God with all her heart. She's kind of the paragon of what it means to be a godly woman. And at one point in verse 25, it says a virtuous woman is clothed in strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Because she knows God can handle it. She knows that God is greater. Did you know that even God laughs? Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You got it. It says, why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot? Why do the kings and the rulers of this earth seek to somehow stand against my anointed one? The one who runs the universe laughs. Why? Because it's like foolish to think that any one of us could stand up against God. I always think about it, you know, it's like uppercase W is not going to be overcome by little lowercase W, me, or you, or anyone we think is against us. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? And so with that kind of sense, there's a confidence that a person has when they begin to think about God and they think about him in their life. It does lead to laughter. Now, I'm not denying you may be here today and you're going through a very, very difficult time. One of the verses we would be working on, some of the stuff that happened this morning, I just said, you know, what's going on in your life because of some things that just happened? I said, you know, don't do it. I'll take that over. Or we do that from time to time because you mourn with those who mourn, but we're also called to rejoice with those who rejoice. And this morning, one of the things we rejoice with is you families. How exciting. God has given you a bundle of life and joy that will bring laughter and some sadness at times. But we celebrate with you. And so I'm going to ask just these questions to give you thoughts as we conclude. And I'm going to conclude for a little bit here, okay? So don't think I'm going 5 minutes. Is laughter a part of your life? Is laughter a part of your life? How much is it a part of your life? Could God be speaking to you right now? You're not maybe in a really terrible time, a troubled time where you're in that weeping, crying time, but you're just in life in general, and most of your life is lived kind of like, ugh. Can you, with God's help, raise the level of laughter and joy in your life? Is that possible? Well, one of the things you can do, and I'm just going to share these with you, you can look around. You can look back, and you're looking for another look. There won't be, and you can tell others. Those are the four things I'm going to talk about just now. You look for with intention. Part of the way you can raise the level of laughter in your life is to intentionally find ways to look for ways in order to bring laughter into your life. It's just something you can do. You can decide if the Spirit of God is saying, "Yeah, you need to laugh a little bit more." There's things that you can do. Life is tough enough. I think about Grace's father, my father-in-law, and he was a hardworking farmer up in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, which is like 20 miles from sub below freezing weather all the time. Amen. And he would work, and he was a dairy farmer 24/7. I mean, you're getting up early in the morning, and then you've got all the chores you got to do to fence it. I could just go on. And he'd get in, and he would eat, and he would eat when he'd eat. After he'd eat, you know what he'd do? He'd watch the weather. And he'd put himself through torture wondering whether, which he really didn't need to because he was such a man of the earth, he could actually tell when rain was coming. You know how that was? And yet, after weather, he would watch a silly sitcom. And I'd just see him go, every night. And I thought maybe what he was doing was taking medicine. He was a man of God's word. There are really some ways that you can do this. It's not complicated. It's not necessarily even time-consuming. It's just that you need to be strategic and intentional in sense of doing that. And so one time, I practiced different things throughout my life, and one time in a difficult time, I just knew it was a hard season, and I knew I needed to laugh. And I remember as a kid, one of the things I used to look for all the time in the paper was Far Side cartoons. And so I would I actually on my Instagram put Far Side, you know, so they come up. You can just show some of these. I hope you can read it. Bum of a birthmark, Hal. Hunters, if you ever see that. We couldn't get a sitter, family, you get that? Carrying the kids. Inconvenience stores. Pull out, Betty, pull out. You've hit an artery.
That's a Minnesota one. This is one of my favorites. Guys, we're gonna missile. And then for the gifted, school of the gifted, pull. And last, don't be alarmed, folks. There's a line in there. He's completely harmless unless someone startles him. Unless something startles him. And this is wise. Face it, Fred, you're lost. Oh, I've got more up there than I realize. This is the end. Yeah, and then, Mr. Matthew, I just came from the restroom, and Hodges here took my seat. It's my turn for the window seat, which, you know what? We're in church. And oh, man, I remember I'm reading Charles Spurgeon, great preacher years ago. Just people would always be outside the church line just trying to listen. He was funny, but he was also so godly and would speak the word of God. And someone complained one time to him and said, hey, you just use way too much humor in the pulpit. And he just smiled and goes, you just have no idea how much I hold back. So, kind of like, count your blessings. Look around. You can live with an awareness. You don't have to just be intentional, but you can actually live with an awareness. Finding humor in everyday situations that can take some sense of negativity and start moving it to a more positive outlook in life. All you have to do is pay attention. Just about a week or so ago, my wife had arranged for us to have the two oldest grandsons. One had just turned 6, the other was 3. To come, and she had arranged to take care of him overnight, and I was, you know how I, Grandpa, it's just kind of around for fun. Well, she got ill, and so we quarantined her, and now it was Grandpa's turn to take care of him. I was supposed to, dinner, take him to skating lessons, get him back home, and get him in bed on time, like unreasonable times, anyway. So, so she's quarantined in a room, so I get the kids, they come to our house, and we went downstairs first and made forts, and then I realized, oh, time's slipping by, I gotta get them out, I gotta get them dinner, so we went to Culver's, of course, where else are you gonna go? We went from Culver's to the skating lesson at Plymouth over here, and it was really fun, we watched, and then came back, and I had fun with them, and we had treats, and one of the things about their home is treats are only on Friday nights. That's treat day. Not a lot of screen time. They live in a prison, and and I always go, Grace brought this, and she's the one that started. She goes, at Papa and Gigi's, it's treat day every day. Yeah. And then screen time is, way up charts on our plate. But so anyway, we have treats, and I'm starting to clean up the kitchen, and I look at the 3-year-old and the 6-year-old, and I say, hey, you guys, hurry up, go downstairs. And we had made this fort so great, and we put the... My daughter's not here. So anyway, the bed is here, and it's right in front of the big TV, and we're going to watch Stinky and Dirty. So we're all getting nothing set. And I said, hey, I'll clean up the kitchen. You guys hurry up and get your pajamas on, and if you get them on before I come down there, we'll watch Stinky and Dirty. And the 3-year-old looks up at me with fright on his face and says, Papa, I can't get my pajamas on. I'm only free. And I mean, seriously, folks, you gotta laugh. I have some friends here, and they're friends of ours for quite some time, and they have 3 kids, and they may have even been up here this morning at the dedication, this family, but they had become pregnant with their 3rd and had just found out, and Grandpa and Grandma are coming and family for the next Thanksgiving. I think Thanksgiving is the next day. And so Rachel said, don't tell anyone that Mama's pregnant. So I don't know, it's 3 or 4-year-old. I'm not going to say it real loud here, but here she opens the door. There's Mom and Dad, and the little one goes, guess what? I'm not going to tell you that Mom, she's not pregnant. I love that. That's one of my favorites. I mean, she held her promise. She didn't say she was pregnant. And just pay attention to things around you. Oh, man, I've got so many. I got a traffic ticket this week. Just a warning. Just a warning. Oh, I got to tell you, it's still so bad. So Grace and I go out on Wednesday night. It's about 8, late for us. Like, are we going to go out and get something? It's 8. It's late in my mind. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so we go get this thing. We run this errand. We're coming back, and I'm kind of going nicely through Long Lake, and I see the police SUV sitting there, and I'm, you know how you get that, like, oh, no. Yeah. And you shouldn't do this. You touch the brakes, which I touched the brakes. And I thought, oh, and all of a sudden this SUV is behind me. No lights on, just following me because I'm such a good driver. And then the lights go on, pulls me over, comes over, and it's a young lady. She's an officer. Grace, I know she is because in the midst of conversation, Grace goes, "You're so young." She goes, "Yes, I'm 30." And, they have this conversation going on. I am flustered. I'm just like, my mom would say, discombobulated. I'm sitting there. I get my license out, give it to her, and she asks for my insurance card. Well, I had just gone through this, it was a mess, and I had no idea where the insurance card was. And I'm flustering, and she goes, "Well, maybe you can find it electronically." So nice to me. So I said, "Oh, yeah, that's a great idea." She goes back to the end, she gets it, and I find it electronically. I'm proud of myself, and she comes, and she looks at it, goes, yep, and she then goes and goes, Mr. Meyer, I'm going to give you a ticket, but it's just a warning. And I go, "Oh, thank you. You're so kind." She goes, "Just slow down. Don't go so fast in this area." I said, "Oh, man, I will just obey the law." And then she says, "One other thing you'll need to attend to is your license. Your tabs are expired." I'm going, "Oh, now I'm getting a ticket." She didn't give me that one. And she goes, "They were expired in February. Okay, you guys, you've done stuff like this before. We had moved. We had moved. And I went and asked the lady where they send the tab stuff out. She goes, "Oh, yeah, it sure went into your junk mail." So I'm going to believe the best in myself in this one, okay? But I want to tell you, I'm just feeling, and she just is so kind. I pray for her every day now. No fool. She's 30. She's young. She's doing a job. I'm going, that's incredible. Anyway, I didn't laugh at that so much then, but the next morning I journaled and I just split a gut. And honestly, that morning I wasn't really feeling too good about life in some ways. There's stuff. And God just moved me from one place to another because I just said, "God, you're so good." Look back. Here's what it says about looking back, and we're going to make these two quick. Recall the great things God has done. That's what I was doing. Listen to Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. His point is this. They were in a time of real trial, real suffering, and there was just dramatic change that God made in their lives. It was so much so that they thought they were dreaming. This is too good to be true. We can't believe it. It's what I was feeling when she was handing me no ticket. Right? This is too good to be true. It's not what we deserve. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Folks, God does good things in your life. That past faithfulness is a promise that what he will do in the future is that he will care for you again. I just want to tell you, you can smile. I know it may be tough, but God is for you. What he has done in your past, rehearse that. Laugh about it, because God is going to do things again in your life. That's the truth. So look back. Look how God has worked. And then tell others. All the stories of the Bible, I could go list them. Moses parting the water. You get them. A bunch of people marching around a big fortress with a bunch of horns. Right? Joshua, are you kidding? You got to laugh at that. You could think of David and Goliath. I was preaching once over in Ethiopia, in the hinterlands, where they came to the meeting, and a number of them were carrying spears, and I told them about David and Goliath. I said, "Goliath," and you look at their little spearheads, they probably weighed about a half a pound. They were not much. I said, you look at the Bible says that his spearhead was 15 pounds, and that one, they translate it to whatever their weight is. I just look at stories like that and I go, "God, look back. what God is doing, and then tell others. All these stories that God gives us in here, you know what? They're to inspire faith. They're to build your confidence that God loves you, but they're also meant to make you laugh. They're meant for you to go, oh, you filled our mouths with laughter, God. And I say this because I'm going to ask you to stand right now, and I want to pray for you. Because I know some of you are going through, you're going through difficult times. And some of you are going through times and you're making it more difficult on yourself. And God wants you to laugh. And I'm not talking about a levity that doesn't take life seriously. Often the reason we don't laugh is we take life too seriously. We're just too sober. Often we don't laugh because we live too narrowly. We put all our eggs in this one basket, and when it falls, it's like, oh, and God says, oh, there's a lot more that I want you to invest in. Father, I just pray for these people. I thank you for my church. I love these people. I pray that you would bless them. Bring laughter to us. Their church would go about with great joy. For some, God, who are in just difficult times right now, would you come around them and just, however you want to do it, show them your love. Reveal yourself to them. If they're lonely and they're feeling the pain of that, they're dealing with illness or whatever it may be. And for some of you, you're like the people of Israel in that psalm. I want you to lean into God with faith, even though you don't see it. Even though you don't see the fulfillment of that promise. I'm telling you, I think by the Spirit of God, lean into this, because this promise is yours. You may be days away from seeing those fortunes reversed and beginning to say, this is too good to be true. And if you've been wandering from God, you've been away from God, and it's hard and it's difficult, and God is saying right now, I want you to just, I'm not here to take away your fun, I'm here to just strengthen you as you would walk with me. And just right now, you just may need to say, God, I want you in my life. Forgive me. Begin to lead me. If God's doing that, would you just open your heart to him? As we're done here in this time tonight, this morning, if you would like prayer, there will be people who would love to pray for you. So up front here, we'd love to pray for you. And to the families, thank you. God bless you. What an incredible time it is to be together in God's house and his people. And I'm going to play this video one last time of that baby laughing. And I want you to hear this. One of the reasons that babies can laugh and kids can laugh is because they know they have parents often who are secure in a place where they're going to, you know, they're going to get their meal, they're going to get this, they can relax and laugh. When you watch this, you're just a little baby. Just in your heart go, man, God, I'm glad. I'm glad you're my parent and you're taking care of me. Let's play that. Okay. God bless you. Have a great morning.